I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, Ian, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Appreciate it, guys. How are you?
Doing well. Enjoying these playoffs, and we'll get to your book here. We'll certainly chat about that here momentarily, Ian. But let's start with the Cavs. Ken, as remarkable as LeBron is, can he keep this up with what he had to do against Indiana? Did not look like he had the same life in his legs last night, even with the Cavs' victory. His teammates were great, as he talked about after the game. Do you think LeBron can keep this up and keep surviving and advancing with this Cavalier team with the amount of pressure and the amount of minutes he's logging night in, night out?
I do, because, look, the book is about that 2010-11 season when he was known for wilting under pressure, and he learned how to become a champion at that time. And now I look at him as one of the three greatest players of all time: Bill Russell, Michael Jordan, LeBron James. And if Michael Jordan was in this position, I think we'd all be saying, yeah, Michael can pull this off. And I think LeBron is like a 2.0 version of Michael, because he's got all the playmaking skills that Michael didn't have as much of. So last night you saw the other guys on the team come around and almost not wanting to let LeBron down. I think that's where they are now. And when he's been out of the game, they played well, and I think that shows him that he can depend on them more and more. And then you have the whole Raptors thing. You know, this is like, I live in Boston, and it's like watching the Red Sox before they finally broke through. I mean, they just can't convince themselves that they can do this. If they win, it's going to be a really agonizing series for Toronto to get to sort of process through all the psychological stuff they have to get through in order to beat LeBron.
Yeah, no, Ian, Moose and I were talking about that earlier. We feel like LeBron is renting a ton of space in the minds of the coaching staff and the roster of the Raptors. But if we could back up a little, right? You were talking about some of the other players around Bron on the Cavs. So, are you surprised by the impact of Tristan Thompson over the last two games?
You know, I was surprised early in the year that he wasn't having an impact, that he'd sort of been forgotten and played his way out, because all he has to do is just play hard to be effective. His stuff all comes off energy and coming up with loose possessions, extra possessions for his team. They don't expect him to be a shooter or score or anything like that. They just expect him to play hard. And now he's doing that, and it's so much more valuable in the playoffs even than during the regular season, the kinds of things he does. It's just disheartening for a team like the Raptors to feel like, okay, you know, LeBron's having a bad shooting night, now Tristan Thompson's killing us, and Kyle Korver's having the night, J.R. Smith is making shots. What, you know, he wasn't doing that so much against Indiana. Why is he doing it against us? All these things, you can just see their minds working as they play this team, and it's really painful to see.
Yeah, it's tough to watch. You know, Ian, you mentioned you're up in Boston. You know, before the Red Sox finally won it, you drew the comparison with the Raptors. I guess what do you think the message to Dwayne Casey is following that loss last night to his team?
Don't give up. Don't stop doing what we were doing. The reason the Raptors are in this position where they ought to win the series, I don't know if they will, but they ought to, is because they changed the way they play. They went away from isolation basketball. They shared the ball, and they went with a deeper bench. Those are their advantages against Cleveland, and they got to stick with them. As the series goes along, there's going to be more and more pressure on DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry to take it on themselves and to revert back to the way they used to play, and there's going to be pressure on Dwayne Casey to shorten his bench. Don't do any of that. Just stay with what you've been doing all year. Believe in it like a golfer. I'm going to change the metaphor. It's like a golfer believing in his swing when he's teeing off on the 18th at the Masters, you know, needing a birdie on the final hole on Sunday. You got to believe in it. You can't go away from it.
Yeah, and until you climb that mountain, it's difficult. And right now, that is going to be a fascinating game, too, to see how this Raptor team does react. With that being said, you know, Curry steps back in, comes off the bench last night, 28. I guess we should expect nothing less. And when Curry's going, Green's hitting shots from the outside. You throw Durant, Klay Thompson. We're all just waiting till we get Houston and Golden State in that Western Conference final.
Yeah, I was out in Portland a couple of years ago when Curry came back from a similar injury. And his first game back, I think he had 40, and they won in overtime, and he was just sensational. It was like he hadn't missed a game for 3 years. And so none of this is surprising. And for me, as long as he's healthy, as long as he's fully functioning, they are the favorite, even without the home court advantage, as well as Houston's played all year. Whatever LeBron brings into his series with the Raptors, you can multiply it with the Warriors because everybody knows of all the talent that they have, the stars, the way they play defense, and then they share the ball on top of it, so you can't load up on one guy. They won going, you know, they scored 120 points, and I think last night Klay Thompson was 4-for-20. So imagine when they're all playing well together, which is what they'll be building towards when they play Houston. That's going to be a terrific series. That's really going to be the NBA Finals, and I look at it as it's Golden State series to win.
Hey, so Ian, how about Rondo, man? I mean, this guy, he's playing great right now in the postseason. I mean, but like during the regular season, you know, not so much. He's like hot and cold. I mean, you know, break him down. Talk about Rondo a little bit and how good he's playing right now.
It's always been that way with Rondo. He gets up for the big games, and there's no coach in the world that can convince him to care during a lot of those meaningless regular and meaningless in his mind regular season games. There was a time when he was with the Celtics and he was at his peak. I thought he was the best point guard in the NBA because he was sharing the ball so well. He was creating shots for all his old teammates, making them look young again. There was no better traditional point guard in the league. And that's what he's bringing to these guys. He's now, he wasn't known as this then, but now he's known as a great teammate, a guy that really relates to his teammates. And I think that's because he's the older guy. When he was in Boston before, he was the younger guy, and he was deferring to the Hall of Famers that he was playing with. And now he's sort of learned from Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and realized how he can help Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday find their way. So when you put all that together, Rondo's a great guy to have, especially at the salary he's making. He's one of the best bargains in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Let's touch upon quickly the other playoff series that's underway. How about what you saw initially in Boston and Philadelphia? Was that more of the brilliance of the coaching of Brad Stevens or a little bit of rust from the 76ers, what we saw in game one?
It just looked to me like the 76ers were unrecognizable. You know, Joel Embiid is wearing that mask. It's like their whole team was wearing a mask, and they were trying to hide who they really are because they just did not look like the team that's been the hottest team in the league the last month and a half. Their defense wasn't good. They had no personality on offense. Part of it is Marcus Smart is going to be guarding Ben Simmons in a way that Simmons has not been guarded before. Not only is Smart the kind of guy that gets into you, he's like a mini Ron Artest, but it's the playoffs. And so everybody's working harder on defense. The games are more physical. And even though Simmons has that huge height advantage, Marcus Smart's going to get into him. And that's going to be there the whole series. And Simmons is going to have to work his way through it as a rookie. And it's asking a lot. He can do it for sure. And he's got a lot of weapons. But if they are somehow able to clamp off Ben Simmons to some degree with Marcus Smart, then they have a chance to at least extend the series, put pressure on the 76ers, and then see what happens, sort of like what happened the last series against Milwaukee.
Yeah, we'll see, because the Sixers are definitely a fun team to watch. So, Ian, what about if we shift gears for a second and go down to San Antonio? Well, what type of value do you think the Spurs can get in return for Kawhi? And you know, if Kawhi were to move on, like what team you think? You know, he said he wants to be in a big market potentially. I mean, what could be the best fit for him potentially if he were not to be with the Spurs?
Well, the first thing would be that the teams that would be interested in trading him for him will take a really hard look at the medical stuff and make sure that the investment that they're making is going to be worthwhile. He only played 9 games this year. There's been a clear difference of opinion between him and the team over what his injury is and how to treat it. This is not going to be a simple thing to figure out, and I don't think we can take for granted that teams are just going to say, yeah, let's go for him. There may be some teams that say we can't afford to trade for a guy with this medical problem. So that's the first thing. The next thing is going to be if Popovich and Kawhi Leonard can meet just one-to-one and figure it out the way Popovich did with Tim Duncan years ago when Tim Duncan was a free agent and thinking about leaving San Antonio. He and Popovich got together and talked it through. Late night talks in Popovich's backyard back in 2000. And they came to an understanding, and everything they did after that, winning 4 championships, came as a result of those talks. So let's see if Popovich can talk with Kawhi. And then the last thing would be, I'm sure the San Antonio would want to trade him out of the conference, would want to trade him to the East. And then you're looking at Boston. Boston's got stuff to trade for him. His age fits with Kyrie Irving, who's 25. Kawhi's 26. They've got other young guys. That would be an interesting one if the medical test checked out.
No, I mean, that would be amazing if Kawhi Leonard, if he is medically clean and he wants to be out of San Antonio, if he ever ends up in a Boston Celtic uniform, it would be remarkable. Be very much, you know, that means in about 5 years, Ian, you'll be writing a book just like you did about 2010, 2011. You'll be writing about this offseason if that transpired because, you know, take us back to that decision, 2010, 2011, really, the decision by LeBron, and it began. Your book begins there, and the journey that you take the basketball fan on in your new book.
Yeah, thank you. At that time, it looked like LeBron was going to bring the whole league down with him. He was hated. Everybody didn't like him. He was making promises he couldn't keep of winning 7 championships, even though he'd never won one before. He looked like a guy that couldn't live up to the pressure, and it was because he'd spent the first half of his career trying to be Michael Jordan, trying to replace Michael Jordan. The NBA wanted the next Michael. LeBron was supposed to be it. It was during that season that he realized he couldn't be that, and this is the story of all the guys who beat him up, whether it was Pat Riley giving him advice or Kobe Bryant, Doc Rivers in the Celtics, Dirk Nowitzki in the Mavericks, even the Spurs. All these people on all these other teams told me stories about their careers and how they went at LeBron, and LeBron learned the lessons and became better. That's what we're waiting for from Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City. That's what we're waiting for from John Wall in Washington. That's how the league becomes great, is when these guys, the best players, learn from their hard times. And this is a look at the hardest year of LeBron's career and explains why he is what he is today and why the league is what it is today.
Ian, you think the league is, Taz and I, we had this discussion last week. You think the league's in a really good place?
Oh, yeah. No. When you hear people talk about the NBA maybe becoming the most popular league in America, replacing the NFL, that's something that would have been unimaginable even during when Michael Jordan was ruling the place. So I think it's in a great place, and we're moving away from the one-player model where you need one guy to carry everything. LeBron's sort of given birth to this league where you've got great players all around the league, and in the next few years, once Golden State breaks up, you don't know who's going to be dominant anymore. There's going to be so many good players.
Ian Thompson, check out his book, The Soul of Basketball, NBA writer. Ian, final one, we'll close it out here. Is their interviews are now done. It's an intriguing job because it's New York and it's Madison Square Garden. It's the Knicks. Difficult spot to win when you look at the roster and maybe some of those that want to play a role in running the team as well. Who do you think ends up being the next Knicks head coach?
You know, I wonder if it's going to be David Blatt. There's a lot of coaches that would like the job. I think it's a hopeless job. When you look at the history of Jim Dolan's one loss record, and no matter who they bring in, no matter how they change things, it just doesn't matter because you're fighting within. You're fighting the organization. The organization is not built from top to bottom to win. And until James Dolan makes serious changes from the top down and changes the structure of Madison Square Garden, I don't think it matters if they hire Jerry Stackhouse or Mike Brown or David Blatt or whoever it is, I don't think that coach is going to make that much of a difference.
Ian Thompson, NBA writer, check out his new book, The Soul of Basketball. It's a great read. Hey, Ian, we certainly appreciate a couple minutes this morning, all right?
Hey, appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.